Yum Nub. Reach out for Yum Nub. A Tomitopi chicken. Canoopa Fingo.
Hello and welcome to Upcast, your Star Wars cartoon podcast. My name is Matt, and I'm looking for a great warrior.
And my name's Jamie, and I find that answer vague and unconvincing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I really thought about doing the, you're being rescued, try not to resist line. But I think I'm just going to use it as a drop later.
Yeah, I was trying to actually find that one, and then I came across this one. I was like, oh, I think I like this one better.
Yeah. So today we're going to go over, we're getting to the end of Bad Batch. Well, today is Sunday, April 28th, 2024 is their recording date. So we're a couple days away from the series finale of Bad Batch. But today we're going to go over season 3, episode 12, called Juggernaut. I've had sort of a crazy week and no free time, because work is getting stressful again, and I've got a lot of home stuff going on with, like, kids and family and stuff. So I have done basically no Star Wars this week. So please tell me anything sci-fi you did this week.
Here's some money. Go see a Star Wars.
Okay, well, I finished my one audiobook, which is semi-sci-fi, called Zoe's Too Drunk for This Dystopia, but near future a woman inherits pretty much a crime syndicate from her father. It's pretty funny. It's done by the same guy who did John Dies at the End. I don't know if you're familiar with the book or the movie.
Yeah, I know the movie. I didn't read the book, but I saw the movie.
Yeah, so it's just filled with hilarity. I don't want to say hilarity, but it's a humorous take on everything. And then I started The Living Force, which is so far going okay. It's kind of slow. And then I took my son to see the theatrical re-release of the original Alien today. So that was pretty sweet. There's a little thing before it with Ridley Scott and I guess the guy who's making the new Alien movie, Alien or Aliens Romulus.
There's a new Alien movie coming?
Yeah, apparently. I kind of slipped under my radar. I don't know his name. It's
I'm gonna look it up.
But which it was kind of a bummer because my son didn't know. He's starting to get interested in horror movies. So, but he's like, oh, I don't want to see that. It sounds like sci-fi. It's like, no, it's actually a horror movie. He's like, okay, fine. And he enjoyed it. But like, unfortunately, because of that little featurette, they kind of gave away some stuff. But he still got like at least one jump scare out of it. And the movie,
the featurette gave away the movie Alien.
Or it gave away certain parts. It showed certain parts, like what it looked like, and you know, certain things. But there's other like suspenseful things that still happened during the movie that was just like ooh.
So it says here that the director of Alien Romulus, which I've never heard of this movie. That's my bad, I guess. I used to be with it, and then what it was changed.
Yeah.
What the hell are you two doing?
It's called rocking out. You wouldn't understand, Dad. You're not with it. I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
His name is Fede Alvarez.
That's it, yeah.
And he directed Chainsaw Massacre in 2022. Looking at other things. A screenplay for Evil Dead in 2013. Yeah, he's got only a few credits. That's interesting. And Alien Romulus, written by and directed by him. All right, cool.
Yeah, just reading like the tagline, it very much sounds like they're making a movie of Alien Isolation. Which That is one of the most crazy, terrifying games I've ever played. Like, it was super stressful. Because you don't get any weapons.
So it's like a survival game?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then there's, like, certain puzzles and stuff. And all you can really do is, like, you can create things that will distract it. But if you use it too much, it learns not to be afraid. It learns, like, not to be afraid of certain things. Or, like, the certain tricks, it doesn't fall for anymore. And it's, like, it's actively hunting you instead of just kind of, like, doing various, like, loops and stuff. Like, however they program, like, enemies in games, it's actively looking for you. And, like you have to deal with, like, sound. You just have to be very careful. If you run, you make too much sound. If you have, like, the that thing from Aliens, that the motion detector, that thing will, like, make sounds, and then it will then key it in on you. It's a lot of running around, hiding, and a lot of good jump scares, and just, like, certain points, it's just super stressful. But I can't recommend it enough. So anybody who's listening, you've got an Xbox, PS5, or whatever might play, Alien Isolation, go play it. You will not be disappointed if you like anything from the Aliens franchise.
Okay, well, that's very cool. Yeah, I haven't played any Aliens video games since the Super Nintendo, so.
Oh, and there's actually a FX that has a Alien series coming out, set 30 years before the events of the original film. And Timothy Oliphant is in it, so you can count me in.
Yeah, I guess I don't know anything about Alien right now. But yeah, Timothy Oliphant does nothing but good things. So
yeah.
Yeah, I really like him.
Yeah, he's one of those people that I'm glad to see, like, they're having success, even if it's maybe a little bit later in their life. Or later in their career, I should say. They've always been working, but they're only really kind of, like, now, like, starting to really, like, ramp up in their popularity.
And Star Wars cliffhanger, right? He's in a back the tank in Boba Fett's palace.
Yeah, and the
that's the post credit stinger, I think.
And the the equivalent of a tattoo artist, I guess, the mod, the guy who does the mods,
yeah,
is there. So, like, he's going to be part cyborg or something, or maybe they have to give, who knows? Yeah, I want to see more of him in Star Wars, and who knows what's going to happening with Book of Boba Fett, or maybe it'll be wrapped up in the Mandalorian and Grogu movie.
Yeah, it could easily bring it back in the Mandalorian Grogu or the Tales of the Jedi movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So lots of alien content coming. So we'll become an aliens podcast soon.
Oh yeah. I do like Star Wars and like Alien are like my two things. That and like the original Romero trilogy of Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and the Day of the Dead. I just loved all those.
I didn't know you liked those movies.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're great. I don't want to seem like a snob, but I was kind of a zombie fan before they were popular.
So my stepfather was super in. My stepfather, you've met him.
Oh yeah.
He's a funny guy, but he loves old horror films, and he just loved the old. Like Night of the Living Dead, it's one of his favorite movies of all time, and he would show it to us when we were like little kids, and so when we got old enough, he showed us the Romero ones, but they all sort of run together in my mind, honestly. But I've seen all of those zombie movies a bunch of times, but you get credit for loving zombies more than me. You definitely can have it. I think I've mentioned on the pod, but Aliens was one of the movies my stepfather showed me when I was like 8 and scared the shit out of me. And right now my kids are 12 and 8, almost 9 and 13, and I've been debating when I can show them Alien. Your boy is older than mine.
Yeah, like I grew up in the 80s. So like I saw movies that I probably shouldn't have seen earlier than like people, kids nowadays, because parents know better. Like,
well, not only did you and I grow up in the 80s, but you and I were both latchkey kids, right? And so so like we were largely raising ourselves. So my mother would not necessarily, she once got really mad at like movies that we were watching, and I was like, you rent them.
Yeah,
like you control what we see. Like this is on you, not on me.
Yeah, my mom rented The Toxic Avenger for me, and I think I was in middle school.
There you go. There's nudity in that movie.
No, there's a lot in that movie. If it wasn't for like it being like a school day tomorrow and like us doing this, like I was telling my son about Aliens, that just like I just said, like, it's wild. He's like, well, how can they, after the ending, this one is like, oh, don't you worry about that.
Don't worry. They figure out a way to make like 9 more of these.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Bishop getting ripped in half is like, that was like a thing of nightmares forever.
Yeah. It was, oh man. Yeah. That was, I think it was just like the desolate colony that really kind of like screwed with me. Just like how like nobody was there, because I was like home alone all the time, and maybe that's why it kind of fucked with me. But just the Newt being completely alone. But like all the action is great.
We're talking about Aliens now, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they also run together. Like I can, if I think hard enough, I can parse them out. But Aliens is the one with the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a huge franchise. It's like, how do you introduce kids to like Aliens and Predator, right? Because they're such good movies, and they need to see them.
Yeah, which the funny thing was, is like we were talking about this on the drive home, that like, oh, the Aliens versus Predators movie, they were kind of like, all right. And he's like, well, and then he asked about the Predator movies, and like, yeah, they're okay. And then I started going through my mind, Predator 1, good. Predator 2, pretty good. Predators,
that Predator was pretty, 2 is really good.
That was Predators was pretty good. I enjoyed that one. And then like Prey, oh, I forgot about the one that came out, there's a, because I was thinking about like Prey, which came out in Hulu, that was great. But then there's one that came out in between that had like, I don't know, the guy from Narcos,
and yeah, it had, I'm and looking it, it up.
had like one of I think it was Keegan Michael Key. I get them confused because they're a comedy duo, so eventually there's like they're interchangeable. Because they're always in things together. Yeah, but I was thinking, like, yeah, all those movies are great.
Predators. That's the Adrian Brody one.
Mm-hmm.
The Predator.
Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. Did you see Prey?
Oh, yeah. I loved Prey. My wife and I watched Prey one night, and at the end I was like, they can make as many of these as they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so fucking perfect. That movie, or whatever you want to call it, Netflix special, Hulu special, whatever, fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, so now I've got to show, and I think he's 14, so he can, he's almost done with his first year of high school, so he can watch all of these movies.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at a list of Predator movies, and I have not seen Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Yeah, don't bother.
I saw Alien versus Predator. I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the one where they drill the hole down in Antarctica, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't hate that one. I thought it was, it's fine, right? It's like yeah, keep milking it, sort of thing. But I'm looking at a list of these things, and these are all good. These are all good movies.
Yeah.
And I would absolutely show my kids Predator 1.
Mm-hmm.
A fun thing I like to point out in Predator 1 is that Arnold Schwarzenegger becomes the governor of California, and Jesse the Body Ventura becomes the governor of Minnesota.
And what
so it's an all governor cast.
And what did those other guys do?
Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Predator himself became the governor of Florida. Kidding. Please clap.
Like, I just think of like The Simpsons where it's like, good, like, bravo. This is the slogan.
When I met my wife, I was living in Florida, and I was working at a university in Florida, and my paychecks were assigned because of the way the pay was structured for, like, my program. All my pay stubs were, quote-unquote, signed by Jeb Bush. And so they had Jeb Bush's signature stamp in the signature field on my paychecks. And so, please clap.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have some real ass. I think I have some real assholes name on my diploma from when I graduated college.
Well, so when I was living in Arizona, we were at a fair. My friends were at a fair, and one of the deposed, impeached governors was there signing his book, and it was like a card table with collapsible legs, and everyone's like, oh, I think that's Governor Meekum. And no one was willing to say anything. And I had a camera, and I yelled, "Hey, Governor Meekum!" And he looked up, and I took his photo. Yeah, there's been some pretty choice governors everywhere, but I don't know who would have signed your diploma, but I can only imagine. I can probably figure it out. I won't on the pod, but yeah, I don't think Jeb Bush signed my diploma. Was he still governor when I graduated? I don't remember. I'm not going to figure it out. I don't think he was. And probably some other, whoever followed him in Florida politics. Anyway, that was a fun aside.
Yeah. Yeah. We should probably get to the Star Wars, but,
so I thought it might be fun. To play the quiz show.
Oh.
This is a part of the show we haven't done in a long time. It's a bit we haven't done in a long time. Do you want to play the quiz show?
Sure.
I'm just going to ask you, how many questions do I have? I have 8 questions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have 9 questions, sorry. And some of them are easy and some of them are hard. Some of them are impossible. And I think I'm just going to read the question. If you need choices, I didn't write choices out, but I can make them up. I think most of these are not going to need choices. So I read the question, you just tell me what your best guess answer is, and you can feel free to puzzle it out as you go. Okay? Ready?
Yes.
All right. This is a mixture of in-universe trivia and production trivia. Okay? What was the original last name of Luke Skywalker?
Starkiller.
Correct. I'm going to write correct next to it. That was one I considered easy. Who is the actor that portrayed Count Dooku in the movie Attack of the Clones?
The guy who played Saruman? Christopher Lee.
There you go.
That was my attempt at humor. I think I nailed it.
I seem to recall that I did say to Peter, have you any idea of what kind of noise happens when somebody is stabbed in the back? And I say, because I do.
You got to be confident. What did Han call the Conjure Club?
Oh, a bunch of little freaks.
Yep.
Han's kind of racist.
Kind of racist. All right, you're doing too well. So I gotta get throwing one of the hard ones.
Yeah.
What is Jabba's full name?
Dabba.
That is incorrect.
No. Hey.
Yabba dabba do.
This is like the Japanese game show.
You have to cut off your finger now.
I'm gonna jump in a get hit in the face with a whipped cream and then jump in a tank of eels or something. No, his name is Jabba something Dazarik.
That's pretty close. It's Jabba Desiljik Tior.
Okay.
I wouldn't have gotten that one, but I knew his middle name, Desiljik, but not the Tior. Incorrect. What is Phasma's rank in the First Order at the end of her life?
Captain?
Correct.
Major? I don't know. She got promoted in between.
What planet was Han born on?
Corellia.
Correct. How old were Anakin and Padme when they first met?
I think Anakin was 19 and Padme was like 24,
25. Well, I'll give you a mulligan on that one if you want to think about it a little bit harder.
Okay.
How old were Anakin and Padme when they first met?
Oh, sorry. I guess he was 10 and she was 15.
Close. I'm gonna since you got two chances, I'm gonna say that's incorrect. They were 9 and 14.
Yeah, thinking about that, you know what my 9-year-old thought about? How hot girls were.
Yeah, that's how hot 14-year-old girls were.
Yeah, that's what my 9-year-old thought of, like all the time. Totally makes sense.
Are you being sarcastic?
No. What do you think?
Well, see, I have two sons, right? And one of them is almost 9, and like, look out, everybody! This guy's horny. Like he is like a ladies' man. It's like wild, and he doesn't quite understand like why he's like this. Like he doesn't have any context for it, right? But he hits on every single woman ever, right? And he thinks that every woman is beautiful. And he walks up and he's like, "You're beautiful. Do you want to come see Star Wars stuff in my house?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, this isn't going to work." And it's where does this confidence come from? It's not from me.
Well, eventually somebody's going to say yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's really just a Star Wars sex dungeon, but whatever.
All right, I only have one more.
Okay.
This is the hardest one. What type of dog was the inspiration for Chewbacca, according to an interview given by George Lucas?
Oh.
And you're a dog person, so you might get it, but...
I'm going to guess Golden Retriever?
Hmm.
Okay, no.
I'm going to say that's not it, but you get one more shot because this is a fucking hard question.
Like one of those, like an Irish wolfhound or one of those Russian dogs that fight bears? I don't know.
Oh, man, I saw an Irish wolfhound not too long ago. They're fucking huge.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, there's an Irish festival here, and they had these, they're like small horses. Like, these things are fucking huge. No, the correct answer, I'm sorry, was Alaskan Malamute.
Ah, okay. Is that why Chewie's howling all the time?
Yeah, that is exactly why.
And he's constantly pulling stuff?
You did great. You only got two wrong.
Okay, so what do I win?
Oh, sorry, you got three wrong. So you got a 66%.
You don't
win anything. We can keep score the entire time. This is just a bit to kill time, right? To waste our listeners' time.
Yes.
Do you want to win something?
Well, I guess I'm not winning self-respect, but
that's up to you, I guess.
Nah, it's okay. I'll survive.
All right. Do you want to move on to the show?
Yes, let's.
We probably should. I'm gonna play the drop here.
We've only been going almost half an hour.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right, we'll play the drop. I didn't work up any casting crew on this one because it's a standard cast, so we can just launch right into it.
So the Shadow Clone shuttle lands on Tantus. Hemlock's waiting for them. Omega and the Shadow Clone walk toward him. Her binders are removed. Hemlock orders Omega to come with him. The Shadow Clone leaves.
Hemlock doesn't even say thank you.
Yeah.
What kind of manager is that?
Well, it's not a good one. Yeah. It'd be like, you get, like on your, annual, thing, you get instead of meets, you get, exceeds expectations. That's what I was looking for. Okay. So Hemlock and Omega walk through the halls and into the lab where Emery is. Hemlock orders Omega's blood tested to confirm the M count stabilization is true. Omega asks where Nalase is. Hemlock says she's in a cell and won't be able to assist Omega in another escape. Now Hemlock leaves. Omega then tells Emery that she doesn't have to do this. That's what everybody says, at least according to Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, good call.
You don't have to do this.
People always say the same thing.
Yeah. So
I do like this Hemlock thing where Omega's like, oh, where's Nalase? And him's like, I'm like, oh, fuck her. Like, she fucked up. She's in jail.
Yeah.
You're never going to see that woman again.
Mm-hmm. Emery says she does, but she is happy to see Omega is safe. Omega asks if she is actually safe. Now back to the Bad Batch. They're discussing what they can do now. Hunter says, even if they could get a ship, there's no way they could find Tantus. Crosshair says that Admiral Rampart might know where it is, and he's in a prison colony. Hunter asks why Crosshair didn't bring this up before. Crosshair says that Tantus wasn't a place he wanted to return.
What do you think about this, though? What do you think about this for Crosshair? Because there was the whole thing about where Rex's clones wanted to interrogate Crosshair, and he's like, I don't know anything. And now that I have mixed feelings about it, I'll put it that way. What do you think about what Crosshair's decision is?
I completely understand it. I mean, he was there for who knows how long, being like a prisoner and tortured. I can think of things like at work, where there's something that I know that needs to get done, and this is like hypothetically at work. I can think of times where there's things that need to get done, but they suck. So I don't really bring it up because there's a chance I might have to do it.
Hypothetically,
yeah. So I can totally understand like, okay, there's this place that really sucks and he hates. So he's not going to bring it up unless it like he absolutely has to, because he doesn't want to go back there. Like, fuck that.
Yeah, I get it. It was a little disappointing to me, but it also serves the plot very well. And spoiler alert, the plan isn't a great plan. So it's not like he was holding back much. He's like, oh yeah, this asshole, he might know how to get there, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, and now he has motivation to do it. But this also goes back to our thing, like he's now the protector of Omega. And he's like, all right, well, whatever we have to do, we can do it. Let's go get this shit stained.
Mm-hmm. All right. So AZ-1 and Fee come up through the center walkway. They discuss the plot of the previous episode, and Crosshair says Fee needs to assist them in an Imperial prison break. Fee says that she's game, and they head off to the prison colony on Erebus. On Erebus, Rampart is working in an equipment repair shop with an Ugnaught. A lot of Ugnaughts, prisoners of the Empire.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Let's say Hondo was, when they busted Hondo out of prison, in the beginning of season three of Rebels. Oh, sorry. He is sharing a cell with an Ugnaught.
Yeah, this particular prison has quite a variety of aliens in the background, including Rodians and a couple of Weequay and one of the Nimbon aliens. But yeah, his work partner is an Ugnaught. There's a lot of cool background aliens in this.
Yeah, it makes me think, I wonder, I mean, I assume they made Queel talk basic just because it's easier to understand and flows the story better. But like when you hear Ugnaughts, they talk in like squeals like pigs because they're essentially like pig people. So
yeah, I wonder if any Ugnaught has ever spoken basic other than Queel. We'll look that up.
I mean, I think so, because I think they talked. I think and maybe it was the Mandalorian that he references Queel when talking to some other Ugnaughts.
Right. I mean, I meant outside of Mandalorian.
Oh.
Okay. So there are. So there's an Ugnaught in Rebels who sells Chopper a replacement leg who speaks basic. But according to the Ugnaught language entry in Wikipedia, most Ugnaughts refused to learn basic because they were not fond of humans. Okay, that's interesting.
That's crazy!
But the Ugnaught language is mostly composed of grunts, squeals, and chatter. There's also, do you remember the Lando comic where they steal Palpatine's yacht?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was an Ugnaught in there who was a college professor, right? And he spoke basic. But anyway, we're getting way off topic. We're talking about linguistics of Ugnaughts.
Well, that's what I find. There's always stuff like in Star Wars that I find so interesting. Like, okay, just quick aside, and then I'll get back. So I'm listening to this this book, The Living Force. There is a planet that these people are on. I can't quite remember the name of it, but the last name is Uin. Now that we know that there's two other planets, like Tatooine and Dantooine. So it was like, Uin, is that like, did that mean something to people when they settled it? And that's why like certain planets have that kind of, that name.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. There's some sort of linguistic pattern, right? Some sort of, I'm trying to think of an example in our culture, but it would be like, San Francisco, Santa Barbara sort of thing. Like San means something. San means saint in that case, and so they're named after missions.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so there's some sort of history that determined that made them have that same naming pattern, or like mountain ranges, right, or peaks or something like that. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Very, very fascinating.
Yeah.
There must have been some sort of linguistic reason in some Star Wars language that O-O-I-N-E means something.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't know what it means.
Yes.
Let me open up Wikipedia and tell everybody what it means.
Okay. Okay. Shoot, I lost my place in the notes.
I think Rampire is playing with the Ugnaught.
Okay. Yeah. So all right. So on the ship with the Bad Batch, Fee provides an overview of the labor camp on Erebus. Fee can get them there, but she cannot get them inside the base. Fee is to wait in orbit for the signal for a pickup. Fee drops out of hyperspace. There are patrol ships. Wrecker is concerned that they will be detected. Fee cuts all power and free falls to the planet's surface, pulling up at the last minute in a mountain range outside the base. She drops off the Bad Batch and flies away. So this is kind of cool that just like, well, we'll just act like we're just like a like a asteroid or something that's just falling.
Yeah, like just like a meteorite or something, like some sort of space detritus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes me think, like, it's kind of a call back to, like, other times where they've done, like, crazy stunts to gain entry to some place that's, like, normally, like, locked down. So the Bad Batch move into the base, which looks industrial, concrete, and it's foggy. Two stormtroopers are BSing on the job, saying that they hope to get some action in their next posting when Hunter stuns them. Crosshair accesses the terminal and tries to locate Rampart in the base. Now, you ever notice that they seem to be kind of like, sometimes they stun them, sometimes they just shoot them? I know that they don't like shooting clone troopers, but they're kind of like...
This is a kinder and gentler version of them, right? Mm-hmm. They're not stunning, but they still have that rule where it's like, we're going to stun individuals, but if you're inside a vehicle, we're going to shoot the vehicle down.
Yeah.
We're going to blow it up and then run you over.
So Rampart is still in the repair shop wondering why their shift hasn't ended. He argues with the UNNOC, the shift alarm goes off. And Crosshair says that Rampart is on one of the transports taking him back to the barracks. Hunter says that they have to grab him on the transport. That's their best chance. Wrecker's excited to hit a turbo tank. Crosshair says that they will be spotted, but Hunter thinks that if they attack it from above, they will not be spotted. Now, just so for people who don't know, the turbo tank is what Jyn Erso was in Rogue One. It's just a big, like, this guy, like, it's like a big monster truck with like segmented, kind of like a caterpillar with like humongous wheels.
Yeah, that's a great description.
Yeah. So the Bad Batch shoots cables onto the transport and get on top. They trip a sensor, and when the stormtroopers check it out, they take over the tank very easily. The prisoner compartment is magnetically sealed. Crosshair tells Wrecker that they will use Plan 55. Crosshair uses a ricochet to disable all the guards and finds Rampart. Rampart remembers Crosshair. They free all the prisoners except Rampart. Rampart realizes that since they weren't there to kill him and aren't going to release him, what do they really want? Crosshair says that they need to know where Tantus is. Rampart bargains an escape from the planet in exchange for the information about Tantus. Now, at the base, they notice that the transport isn't moving. They run a diagnostic and realize the comms are jammed. The transport starts moving again. Its speed is increasing and headed towards the bridge out of the base. The commander orders the other transports to intercept and hold the bridge, prevent the rogue transport from escaping. They start to close the barricades on the bridge. Hunter increases the speed to get over the barricades. Another transport starts coming across the bridge right in front of them. They trade laser fire. Eventually, they disable the other transports and jump the turbo tank over it. This is a cool scene because this is actually part of the trailer where the other tank just shoots like a ton of like missile pods at them. So there's just like tons of missiles coming at them, and they just like they just do a monster truck move and just go over it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a really fun shot, just in general, and it's also this sort of absurd moment where they're like, well, we'll just blow it up and then do the Undertaker move, and drive right over the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the ramp was finished, General Lee was raring to take off like the Yankees at Manassas. That's Bull Run to all you folks up north.
All right, Phil, hang on tight. This is gonna be the closest thing to a parachute jump you've seen since you left the service.
Long about now, I bet that boy wishes he had a parachute.
This base, I wanna talk about the base for a second since we're sort of plowing through the plot really fast. What do you think of the design of this base? It just felt very... It looked like the Hoover Dam to me, almost. It just was very minimalist.
Yeah, I could see that. I actually... I didn't put too much thought into it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was designed to be forgettable like this, but it just feels like a concrete jungle. The planet itself is just a rocky mountain planet with fog. So we're not getting interesting. We're not getting an interesting planet in this one. We did go to Pabu again, but it's just a very simple, bleak, brutalist design to the whole thing. And I also like how ill-prepared they are for any sort of disruption. Because the truck stops working, stops moving, and he's like, run a diagnostic on it. Like, mm-hmm. Check what's going on. And maybe this is realistic, because maybe if you work on a prison planet and you're guarding a bunch of Rodians and Ugnaughts, you don't think, like, oh, there's going to be a prison break at any time. But, I don't know. I like the idea, but it just seems like a very classically incompetent Empire sort of moment.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even stop a truck, one of their own trucks.
Yeah, and that Rampart seems like he would be somebody of, like, high value. But,
that's the other thing we haven't really addressed. Do you think he would have been in this prison? Or, because I was surprised, honestly, when they're like, oh, he's in prison. We're like, why would they keep him around? Isn't he a huge liability to them? Or is he just so discredited and they're so invincible, it doesn't matter?
Yeah, I think this is, like, the height of their... They're, like, coming to, like, the peak of their, like, their power. And so they're just... They don't think anything can stop them. And probably that, like, they wanted him... Palpatine would have wanted him executed, but the Empire is, like, a huge bureaucracy. So he could have easily gotten lost and just, like, you're, like... Like, I don't know who you are, but I need extra people. So, like, I'm commuting your death sentence to go work on this shitty planet. So that, because a lot of, you work for the government, a lot of times the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So he might, like, other people might not, like, give two shits about what he's done or, like, what he might know. They'll just say, like, oh, he's a traitor or something. And so.
Right. I guess it all comes down to what is in his file. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the warden of that prison might not care anything more than what his actual sentence is. Right. It's like, oh, this guy has to be here for 30 years. Cool. Put him in the auto shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that brings to the passengers are tossed around in the back, and Rampart grabs a rifle. Crosshair shoots it out of his hands and stuns him unconscious, which is a smart move. And we're not through with this yet, pretty close, but I'm still trying to figure out Rampart. Because he's very much a typical Imperial that's just kind of like the officer that Crosshair shot. Just very, like, has a overinflated sense of self-worth, and seems like they got their position not by being competent, by just knowing the right people or just stepping on the right people.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get a little bit more of his arrogance in the next episode. So I think it showcases exactly where his head's at. But yeah, he's high and mighty to the Ugnaught, and I'm not quite sure, yeah, yet what his character is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever worked with a job where somebody who was just, like, had, like, higher credentials than everybody else, but it was just kind of like, yeah, so what? You're still here with the rest of us doing stupid shit, so you're obviously not that important.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Bad Batch is in the turbo tank, and they're past the perimeter, and they're being pursued by gunships. Hunter calls Fee in for a pickup, and they shoot down one transport, but a second delivers a dozen troopers on top. The troopers destroy the cannons. Hunter rocks the tanks and knocks several of the troopers off. The gunship fires on the tank, and Hunter loses control. Fee shows up, and Hunter and Crosshair jump onto the ship. Wrecker tosses the unconscious Rampart before jumping himself. He barely makes it before the tank drives off a cliff. Now, in space, they revive Rampart and ask him where Tantus is. Rampart says that no one knows where Tantus is. He might be able to figure it out. Crosshair threatens him. Rampart says that they are now in this together. So back on Tantus, Emery is finishing testing Omega's blood. Hemlock enters the lab. Emery confirms that Omega's blood yielded a favorable M count. Omega asks what that means. Hemlock says he will show her and leaves the lab with Omega. During their walk, Hemlock gives Omega a brief history of their efforts to replicate M counts. He explains that they tried so many things to get a good transfer. Nothing worked until they combined her blood with one of their M count specimens. Hemlock leads her into the vault with the other children. Omega asks who they are. Hemlock says that this is Omega's new home. The end. Now, do you think Omega was trying to just get more information out of Hemlock by playing stupid? Because at this point, she knows what M count means. Maybe not midichlorians, but trying to get him to divulge something.
Yeah, I was curious. I think she's not satisfied with the answer she has, except that she knows it has something to do with the Force. But she did not tip her hand at all that she knew something, like what an M count was or anything like that. So, yeah, I think it's very possible that she was trying to fool him into giving her information.
Yeah, so what did you think of the episode?
Yeah, I have the advantage of knowing the next episode at this point. But I had to cough. I think it's a very simple episode. I like the troubleshooting aspect of it. I'll say this, like I said, we didn't do much science in the past week, but we watched The Martian with the kids. I think that was this week. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so I read the book a long time ago and then watched the movie around the time it came out. And then I just wanted to be this family movie night, and I got to pick movie, and I was like, oh, let's just watch The Martian. We started really early, like at 4 o'clock for family movie night. And it was like, we can get away with watching a 3-hour movie. And I think it'll hold their attention. Well, the kids loved it. But the whole thing about like, I'm going to science the shit out of this. I've referred to that book when I was reading it as a competency porn, right? It's just like watching someone be super competent all the time. And so I like the idea of having an adaptive plan. And I like the idea that Crosshair in this situation was sort of like the Martian, in that he's like, they're like, we have no options left. He's like, well, actually we have a pretty reasonable one, like a pretty actionable thing that we can do right now. But we just have to do a prison break. So I liked it, but I thought it was very simple. I thought the plot was very simple, because it's like, we got to go get this guy out of prison. And then we don't really learn much on the Omega side. She's sort of like the bookend of the episode. It starts with Omega ending up on Tantus and ends with Omega ending up in the vault, right? Supposedly the most secure part of the whole base, but we don't see anything on Tantus. It's really just about this prison break. But I liked it. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was just fun and simple. Just it was just a good old-fashioned jailbreak, and it worked well.
Right. In Rogue One, this is, like we've said, this is basically the first 2 minutes of Rogue One, right? Where it's not the first 2 minutes, but the jailbreak in Rogue One, we only see from Jen's point of view, and it goes by very fast. And so I like the idea that these jailbreaks are happening relatively frequently, or they happen. And being in the troop transport or the turbo tank is a point of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see that happening again here. And you called it out in the show, but this is the exact same setup that Rogue One had for their tank. Have you seen the movie Cool Hand Luke?
Not in a long time.
Yeah. Dear listeners, if you don't know what Cool Hand Luke is, that means you're under 50. it's a Paul Newman movie about a guy who's wrongfully imprisoned. and it has one of the most dramatic and egg-eating contests of any movie ever. But I always try to find trivia about these episodes, and it's really hard. But the StarWars.com article about this show had a quote from one of the writers saying that they wanted to design Rampart's character, like his demeanor and like the shots, like the camera shots, to be very similar to Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a random thing to pick. But okay.
Yeah, isn't
it's a very old movie.
Yeah, the GNR Civil War, isn't that like the beginning of it? Isn't that from Cool Hand Luke?
One more time?
The beginning of Guns N' Roses Civil War.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I thought you were talking about something in Star Wars when he said GNR. I was like, what the hell is GNR? Yes, Guns N' Roses Civil War is a Cool Hand Luke, yes.
Okay. Yeah, what we've got here is failure to communicate.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it.
All right. So, do you want to go into the ratings?
Sure. I just didn't have any. Like I said, there's just no trivia about these episodes. I guess the production is too tight. We're too close to the production. Like we're reviewing this episode 14 days after it was released, or 18 days after it was released. So I was unable to find much other than the Cool Hand Luke thing and the identities of the alien. So yeah, we can launch into the rating. That's fine with me.
Okay, cool. So how we do ratings for episodes is we rate them by a Star Wars character. So a great episode would be an original trilogy character such as Han, Luke, Leia, Vader, Chewie, etc. A bad episode would just be a character who's just completely worthless, or just if they were just erased somehow out of Star Wars, we wouldn't even notice. So, Matt, what do you give this?
I'm gonna give this an LS. LS, for those who don't know, which I'm sure is everybody, he's more important than you think. He is one of the trainers of the clone cadets in the American Gladiator episode. He's the one he's the green guy with sort of the Y-shaped head.
Oh, yeah.
Who works with Brick. I like the episode. I think it's not one you would show people to start, but as like an ensemble piece, it's really good. And you can't understand the next episode without watching this one. And we see, we didn't talk about it in the summary, but when Omega says to Emery, am I safe? Right? Because Emery's like, I'm just glad you're safe. And she's like, am I? I think that is such a withering line.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such like, and Emery, we know Emery's sort of having a crisis of faith after she's taken over the operations at the vault. And it's like the worst thing someone could say to Emery in that moment. Right? Where it's like, I'm glad you're safe, because she's reaching out and being compassionate, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad you're fine. And Omega's like, am I?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you're a piece of shit.
Yeah. You're gonna put me in a room with a bunch of other kids and torture me, right? Like you torture them. Am I safe? And it's one of these, it's so good. It's such good writing. It's so subtle, like how much of a fuck you question that is. I just love it, right? And yeah, you don't get to understand what happens next without this episode, and why Omega does what she does. So yeah, I love it. LS is one of my favorite background characters or minor characters of Clone Wars, and without LS, you don't get Domino Squad, Right. So.
Right.
It makes sense. Do you have one picked out, a character rating picked up for this episode?
I had one, but I changed my mind.
I shouldn't go first. I change your mind too much.
So I'm going to give this one a Shriv Shurgiv, I think. He's introduced in the second Battlefront game. He's kind of like, at one point he joins Inferno Squad near the in the end, but he's also with he's kind of Lando's second in command.
The Duros guy?
Yeah. He's fun. He's a really fun character. And I forgot about him till thinking about like what to do, but he's just fun. There's not a whole lot to him, but he's just fun because like the things he says are just hilarious, and his back and forth with Lando. So I pick him, Shriv.
Awesome. Yeah, I like a good Duros. I like a good alien. Anything else you want to talk about today?
No, I've got really nothing to talk about.
All right. Well, next week we will continue our Bad Batch discussion with a review of Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 13, Into the Breach. We are really at the home stretch of Bad Batch this Wednesday, so probably the day this is out or the day after this is out. The finale will have aired, and then we'll be out of Bad Batch content probably forever. Well, unless they make a comic book.
Yeah.
Do you want to make any crazy predictions for the finale? Like, who's going to die?
Oh. Well, it seems like...
If you do it, I'll put it up before the finale.
It seems like somebody's going to die, because they make it sound like that it's, like, people that have seen the pre-screening of it, like, we're all, like, sad. So something bad's going to happen. I just feel like Crosshair is going to... They're doing what they did to Tech. It's just making us feel for Crosshair, and then he's gonna end up dying, sacrificing himself for Omega or something like that. But the Jennifer Corbett has been on Twitter saying that it's not gonna end the way you think it's gonna end. So there's, man, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I personally hope they don't kill anybody else, but I think that the fact that they haven't brought Tech back yet is sort of a sign that they're not afraid to, in a way. Mm-hmm. So I don't want them to kill anybody, but I would guess if they're going to do it, it would be Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a bunch of, like, a lot of the clones are just slaughtered during the escape.
I've seen some people say that, like, speculate. I know we're way out of order on our review at this point, but people speculate that Omega and the Force children are going to somehow use the Force to control the Zillow beasts and just wreck shit inside Tantus. That would be pretty cool. But
yeah,
I don't know. I posted on our Twitter that I said something like, the finale's 3 hours long, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did not give themselves a lot of time to wrap this shit up.
Yeah, I'm assuming the Shadow Clone, if he is somebody, he's Cody.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That would suck. But yeah, Cody takes a shot at Kenobi, so I guess that would be okay. Right? I don't know. That would be rough, but we don't know what happened to Cody right now.
Yeah,
and you're right. Actually, I bet you're right. Fuck. Wow. Now I got to think about that for 2 days, 3 days.
We find out who the maybe it's like a beloved Jedi character that's like the specimen, the other specimen that they're using for like M counts.
You mean other than the kids?
Right.
Yeah, I think they have to take us back to the cloning chamber where they're actually trying to clone something and show us what's in there. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Moff Gideon showed up because he ends up taking over this project. I don't know what happens to Hemlock, but that dude probably gets iced. But the project keeps going.
I'm assuming, and this is a big assumption, that, like, because there has to be some sort of, like, epilogue that, like, Palpatine's just, like, this has been proven that this is too important to do in the Republic, so we're moving it to Exegol. Not even say Exegol, but just to a place no one knows about outside of in the unknown regions.
Yeah, I would buy that too, right? I think that would be a good ending to me. But you still need someone. I think you could still bring in, like, a Moff Gideon at this point. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Like I said, it's Sunday night. Where I am, it's now Monday morning, but it's Sunday night. And so we've got, like, 60-ish hours before it's released. So happy Star Wars Animation Week, everybody.
Yeah.
Do you want to play the outro or anything?
Yeah, sure. All right. Outro coming up.
Thank you for downloading and listening to this episode. We would also like to thank Jordan White for the use of his cover of Yub Nub as our intro and outro music. Please refer to the show notes for photos, clips, and links from this episode. Side effects from listening to Yubcast may include dizziness, dry mouth, a sense of confusion, and decreased sex drive. Serious side effects may include speaking in Ewok, speculating the origins of prequel characters, and wondering why two grown men discuss children's cartoons on the internet. For a complete list of side effects or to complain about the show, please visit us on Twitter at YubCast or drop us an email at NoochVaderProductions@gmail.com. Thanks again. We will see you again next week with a new episode. YubCast is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or the Walt Disney Company. Star Wars, its characters, and creations are the property of Lucasfilm and its parent company, the Walt Disney Company. YubCast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. Da 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 da